I'm here in the studio today with music director and conductor of the KSO, Aram Demirjian, who is here to talk to me about an upcoming production in collaboration with the Clarence Brown Theater of Leonard Bernstein's Candide. Welcome, Aram. It's been a week or two since I've last seen you in the rehearsal room for Candide.
Yes, it has been, and I'm glad to be back in the studio.
Yeah, great to see you. Our avid listeners have probably noticed that Leonard Bernstein is being mentioned a lot these days. This, of course, is the centennial year of Bernstein, who was born on August 25th, 1918. So lots of celebrations are taking place for this legendary musical figure. Why is he such an important figure?
Leonard Bernstein is arguably the most important musical figure in American history. Certainly, I would say, in American classical music history. He defied category. He was a great conductor, a great composer, certainly. Also a phenomenal educator, a scholar, a social activist, a TV star. And there were no limits to what he did. He would write for the classical stage. He would write for Broadway. He would write for Hollywood. You know, he was a poet. And he pursued all of these disciplines with equal commitment to excellence. He really believed and wanted to do it all. But I think the most important contribution Bernstein made was in his ability as a communicator. He took classical music in America, an art form that was largely considered, even more so in the middle of the 20th century than it is now, considered to be elite, European, exclusive, foreign, and demystified it and made it something that is for everybody. And he did it by putting classical music on TV. And with his incredible communication skills, his ability to speak intelligently about a subject in a way that anybody could understand it without dumbing down the subject matter, whether it was through his omnibus TV specials or his 53 young people's concerts that he did with the New York Philharmonic, he made classical music mainstream. And then beyond that, he was the first American to be the music director of a major symphony orchestra, the New York Philharmonic, and he absolutely blazed the trail for every American conductor that came after. So, of course, I feel a great deal of admiration and gratitude for him.
Absolutely. So important in so many different ways. On to Candide. The story or plot of Candide is perhaps a little complicated, but could you maybe surmise the overall message of the operetta?
Oh, boy, that is the question, isn't it? That is one of the questions that we've been grappling with over the course of our rehearsal run, and I think one of the great challenges of Candide over its history. Candide was originally a work of satire by Voltaire, and basically the idea behind the satire is that Voltaire is criticizing contemporary philosophers who preach essentially blind optimism, that, you know, nothing can be better than that which exists, essentially. And Voltaire is poking that idea with a stick in many different ways through the experiences of this extremely idealistic and naive character named Candide, who is living in a baronial manner but is not a high-ranking person at all. And there, you know, there's this philosopher named Pangloss who, you know, represents the philosophers that Voltaire is mocking, and, you know, with this idea that we live in the best of all possible worlds. And Candide has bought into this hook, line, and sinker. The story is basically how much hardship does it take to shatter Candide's own idealism. He's in love with the daughter of the Baron, Cunegonde, but they can't be together because of their difference in rank. He's thrown out of the house. He finds himself in a war where a bunch of people are killed. He thinks he loses Cunegonde to death. He finds himself in the Spanish Inquisition and is persecuted. He goes around the world and encounters all of these awful, awful scenarios and still maintains his belief in idealism. Until, well, I don't want to give away the end of the show, but the show deals with the question of how do we live in this world knowing that it is not the best of all possible worlds, knowing that the world is imperfect. How do we live fully, and the conclusion is essentially, we're neither pure nor wise nor good. We'll do the best we know. We'll build our house and chop our wood and make our garden grow. We do the best that we can, given whatever circumstances that we're in, and there is virtue in that, and there is an element of grandeur in that. Now, the challenge of this is, Voltaire's original story, these characters, they were barely characters. They were symbols. They were placeholders for different philosophical arguments that Voltaire was trying to debunk. So there wasn't a whole lot in terms of character development. And in terms of the storytelling, there was not really much of a through line to the story besides bad stuff keeps happening. Every scene in the story is a tableau that doesn't really have that much plot-related connection to another scene in the story. So in the context of the show, you're racing from location to location to location. And the greatest challenge of this is telling a cohesive story with a through line. Mm-hmm. Now, we have an advantage in this respect in that there is a singular musical voice that is connecting it all together in Bernstein, and there are all of these entertaining musical numbers which keep that energy of the story going forward. But it was a challenge for Bernstein and Lillian Hellman when they first created it in 1956. There have been at least a dozen different published versions of this that have been created because nobody's ever been satisfied with it. And pretty much every production, including ours, when you take it on, you make your own adjustments and you try to answer the questions that the show presents and solve some of the challenges.
And so which version are you basing yours on?
We're using, for the foundation, the 1989 Scottish opera version. And we're doing this for a number of reasons, one of which is it was the last version of it that Bernstein was actively involved in revising and editing before he died. And it was also the only version that he ever conducted. And he had the most active role in creating the orchestration for this one out of all of the versions, and it uses the biggest orchestra out of any of the versions. And because this is such an equal-handed collaboration between the Clarence Brown Theater and the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra, with the orchestra even being on stage, we wanted to use a version that showcased the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra in as full force as we could.
But you said that you all are making your own tweaks to the Scottish opera version.
Yeah, and this is all above board with the approval of the Bernstein Foundation. You know, as I talked about earlier, there are challenges of storytelling in this show. Every show has a different libretto, a different script, and each one has its own problems. And certainly this one was very grand opera in terms of the dialogue and not quite as theatrically based as some of the ones that were written more for a Broadway theater space. Mm-hmm. And so Cal McLean, artistic director of the Clarence Brown Theater, and I sat down and consolidated, essentially, you know, made certain cuts to some of the dialogue and advanced the storytelling with excerpts from the concert version of Candide, in which the character of Voltaire, who is in many ways a narrator in the staged version already, in the concert version is much more a narrator. So you know, in the concert version, you essentially have a musical number, a little paragraph of narration saying, and this is what happened in the story between now and now, and then another musical number. So we have strategically inserted a few of those moments where, you know, there's a lot of time spent acting out not all that much story, actually, and just have had it presented in the context of true storytelling with a couple of monologues here and there.
So a unique production for Knoxville.
Yes, that's absolutely.
Really cool. And you mentioned that the orchestra will be on stage, which I think is so wonderful. It, you know, really elevates the orchestra to an equal part in this production, which is so important.
Yes. Well, you know, with some musicals, I think it's interesting that we call them musicals because pretty much any musical, the text is first and foremost. In Candide, it's about the music. I mean, let's be serious. In Candide, it begins and ends with the music.
Yeah.
And the orchestra, in the way Cal has conceived it, really is a dramatic player in the show. And the way the set has been designed, we have a wonderful set designer, Michael Gagneau, just one of many, many great people on the production team that we have. The idea is essentially that the action emerges out of the orchestra, and you'll see that expressed in a lot of different ways. I mean, there's a staircase that runs in the middle of the orchestra, and when the cast comes out at the beginning of the show en masse, they come from behind the orchestra, around the orchestra, within the orchestra, and then at the end of the show, that's where they return, essentially being, you know, the world of the story kind of lives in the music.
Interesting. I love that. You just touched on the fact that the artistic team for this production, so many talented people involved. That's probably my favorite thing about theater, is collaborating with so many amazingly talented people. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the collaborative experience that you've had with this production.
It's been spectacular. The overarching collaboration is between the two institutions, Clarence Brown Theater and Knoxville Symphony, two organizations that have quite a bit of experience collaborating with each other already, with Amadeus and Sweeney Todd filed away in the experience category. We have a crackshot team of production designers who are some of the best in their business from around the country. And then we also have an incredible cast. And this cast, one of the many wonderful things about it is the breadth and diversity of artistic experience that we have within the cast. We have everybody ranging from current UT students to local Knoxville professionals to people who, you know, have national careers, who are from New York or Chicago, people who are trained mostly in the operatic world, people who are trained mostly in the Broadway theater world, people who spend most of their time doing straight theater and actually don't sing that often. And the totality of those collective experiences, I think, has made our production richer and has certainly made the rehearsal experience much richer, with all of the different perspectives and different contributions that different people from the cast have been making. None of this would be possible without the third institution that is a collaborator in this, the Roy Cockrum Foundation, which provided the grant that made this production possible on the scale that we're doing it.
And who are some of the actors in the lead roles?
Well, we start, of course, with the title role of Candide. Candide is being played by a tenor who, he's kind of from New York and L.A. right now, named James Onstad, who is an extremely talented up-and-coming actor, singer, and actually getting a little bit into directing now, too. He's a friend of mine. We go way back.
I heard that.
Yeah.
You're old college roommates?
Yes, but don't worry. That's not why he got the role. He earned this role in every respect. But yes, you know, good old friend of mine who it's been, you know, who actually we lost touch, you know, for a couple of years there, and it's been really great to reconnect and seeing how his abilities and career has blossomed. Cunegonda being played by a Chicago-based actress Cecilia Aioli. And Cecilia has a very, very impressive resume of experience, particularly in the very distinguished Chicago theater scene. Just an incredibly soaring voice. I mean, Cecilia can crank out the E-flats that Cunegonda has to sing with a degree of consistency and tirelessness that I've never seen before. And man, this show is an athletic event for her, and she does a phenomenal job. The largest role in the show is not Candide, in spite of the title. It is Voltaire / Pangloss, Voltaire being the narrator, Pangloss being the philosopher that Voltaire is poking fun at, played by the same person. Two very large, important roles that those are being played by David Quartermeyer, who is somebody who will be very, very familiar to Clarence Brown Theater audiences. We also have one of the most experienced members of our cast, and who is a real get for us, playing the old lady, Heidi Kettening, who just has a staggering range of experiences on the theatrical stage, on the concert stage. She's been on TV. She's been in movies. She is a showstopper, and she is hilarious in her role as the old lady. And then a number of other folks in slightly smaller roles, Jonathan Christophers, a great baritone and a very, very funny man, is playing Maximilian. Charlotte Munson, who is a graduate of the MFA program at UT, had been involved in the Clarence Brown Theater before, returns to play Paquette. Mm-hmm. And then many, 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 I could list the whole cast because I have such admiration for all of them, but many, many more beyond that.
You've been in rehearsals for the past couple of weeks with the cast preparing this show. I wonder if you have any humorous rehearsal stories that you can share.
That I can share? No. Seriously, though. Yeah, it's been a great room of people. So there have been a lot of laughs, as you know, tends to happen when you're rehearsing. Most of the funny stories are like so highly contextualized they wouldn't really make a lot of sense.
Right.
But there is a scene where a number of sheep are involved. And we have a few different versions of sheep. We have sheep on wheels. We have a couple of stuffed sheep, one which sort of takes on a personality of its own. And figuring out how to make the sheep on wheels work was pretty tricky. We had a couple of runaway sheep in rehearsal. We had a sheep fall off stage at one point, and we had a sheep that takes on a starring role in the show along with Candide. He has a concerning number of deep interactions with this stuffed sheep that he's holding. And we figured that the sheep really was a cast member, and we were trying to figure out what the sheep's name was. Uh-huh. And it's been dubbed Childish Lambino.
I love it. I have to go see Childish Lambino now.
Yeah, it really steals the show.
Well, this sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime production that folks here in Knoxville don't want to miss. Thanks for coming in to talk with me about it.
Thank you for having me. Don't miss it.
The Clarence Brown Theater and Knoxville Symphony Orchestra present Leonard Bernstein's Candide August 29th through September 16th, a total of 17 performances that you have to choose from. Tickets and information are available online at clarencebrowntheater.com or at knoxvillesymphony.com.